Now, going through the Ten Commandments, it's been a great job. I mean, wonderful to listen and just hear how Christ fulfills it, and just seeing the word, PH preached the word through it. And I get the privilege of having the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath day. And just for the sake of time, I am really going to kind of break it down, and then have maybe some misconceptions that we can kind of handle, that we should see the Sabbath the right way, see Christ, the fulfillment of it the right way. But Joanna read the scripture. I don't want to read it again because I don't have that much time. So I'm going to start it now. So now, 25 minutes. All right. Okay, let's start with this. The practicality of the physical Sabbath day. What it was made for originally is that it really, Sabbath means the abstinence from work, okay? So I want you to see that rest, Sabbath rest, was woven into the fabric of creation from God. So Genesis, we get this from Genesis 2:2-3. It says this: on the Sabbath day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So we can see right there the foundation laid, that not that God needed to rest, but he's woven in the fabric of creation rest, knowing that he's going to create creatures, right? So rest is to be a staple of every way of life. And if you don't believe that, you end up fighting creation, the design. Now, just some practical things I want you to think about. That's why we have to sleep. We don't get enough sleep. We get cranky. We can end up getting diseases and get sick because we're overworked, not enough sleep. That's just a basic practical thing. Overworked, trying to work double shifts, triple shifts, overtime and all that without getting ample rest creates that kind of stress, right? Working out, even physical working out, resting muscles. Your muscles don't grow if you don't take days of rest, right? Even in relationships, marriage, learn to get away from each other, right? Get away from each other. Get rest so you can end up saying, okay, I'm refreshed. I always love you, but I'm not made to constantly be there. Even with kids, you know you need rest from your kids, right? So you see practical things woven into the fabric of creation that I believe God put there to preserve life physically, mentally, and spiritually, okay? So in essence, though, I want you to see the reason God made the Sabbath was to show man, us, creation, that he is not ultimate, that we are not ultimate, that we need rest, okay? Because even after the fall, Jesus comes in Mark 2:27. Even after the fall, he says, and he said to them, talking to the Pharisees who were chastising disciples for needing to eat. And he says to them, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. It was made to promote man's livelihood. And they turned it into something different. Take pride in, hold over people to make themselves more righteous than anyone else. When really, God gave the Sabbath to serve man. Okay? So let's look at, let me say this first before we look at this. Rest reminded man that his life in the earth is sustained by God. That's what Sabbath is. It's not sustained by himself working. That's what separate. That's why we come to church on Sunday. That's what the traditional model is to show, that we are acknowledging this creational truth, that I don't have to go to work today. I need to acknowledge that my sustenance, my provision comes from the Lord. Right? So this physical acknowledgement of the Sabbath can't stop at this, at just the day though, right? It cannot stop at just Sunday gatherings. Though this traditional model is to show us that we don't live by bread alone, but Christ, the living word, he being our true sustenance and identity. Coming together in a community, hearing the word, fellowshipping, really honestly worshiping and dealing with issues that we may have that cause division in the community. Sunday is made for that. Church is made for that. Because I ask you, where do you get this else? Where would you get this anywhere else? You can't get it at the mall. You can't get it at your job. Right? Only when you come in the community of believers where God can confront you, seeing from the Father what his word says about how we are to relate to each other as a community. So you see the practicality of the Sunday, the Sabbath, honoring it and coming. So this physical Sabbath, though, we can't stop there because we can start worshiping church. It's to lead us to a spiritual Sabbath of rest and worship that goes beyond a day like Sunday, but to the Lord of the Sabbath. So my Sabbath is on Tuesday as well. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. That makes sense? So here's the priority of the spiritual Sabbath of rest in Christ. The spiritual Sabbath becomes a priority. It moved from this focus that God laid down. It's beautiful to see how the word lays it out and comes to the fulfillment of Christ. So I want to show you in Hebrews. Before I get to the scripture, in Hebrews, the writer is talking to Jews who held the Old Testament law, but now who become believers in Jesus Christ. And the writer is telling them this. He's talking with them. He wants to warn them to steer clear of believing that rest was found apart from faith in Jesus Christ. That it's not going back to observing these laws that Christ fulfilled, but it's in faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you some scripture. Hebrews 4:1. The writer says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, talking about God's, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. What he's talking about there is the Old Testament believers heard the word of God through Moses. But it did not benefit them, and they did not come into the rest of the promised land. Why? Because they did not believe the word. They didn't trust God through his word. So they didn't find the rest of the promised land. That physical place that God had promised them, they weren't able to get in it. Actually, God took them out because they didn't have faith. Right? But here's the principle I want you to see emerging from what he's saying here. That we cannot find spiritual rest by obtaining anything you are working for physically or spiritually. You cannot work for rest. Now, let me give you an example. You cannot work to think, if I get this promotion, life is going to be wonderful. If I marry this person, life is going to be wonderful. Now, that's the greatest deception we all fall into, if I can just get to this next step. But the principle is saying that the rest cannot be in stuff. Otherwise, what is Christ for? So real rest and peace is by faith in Christ. This is why Jesus was saying he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He finished the work. That's the point. He finished the work. That's why Sabbath was saying no one do any work. It's an abstinence for work. But when you take it from its context of physical, trying to find rest and all the things that we try and do, it's okay to go on vacations. It's okay to take a break and all that. But you can go on vacation and not have real rest. Right? So that leads us to see that it's got to go deeper than something physical. And that's why you can't work for it. And that's the essence of the cross, that Christ finished the work and you come into my rest. My rest. So it was the physical work of the cross, perfect obedience. That's the work Christ fulfilled. And we can't do that because of sin. And then the spiritual work of conquering death and hell through the cross. That's rest. That's where the rest is. That's what heaven is. That's what he purchased. Heaven is the ultimate rest through Jesus Christ. So this is where, I got how much time? 16 minutes. Okay. So I want you to see this. So we must move beyond looking for Sabbath rest and what is physical. So if so-and-so would act like this, I would be. Or if my situation would actually be like this, I would be. All of that is physical and it doesn't need any faith. Come on now. Right? And we all fall into the trap. We are hoping for a physical rest and peace, kind of like a constant vacation. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I wish I can get out of here. I wish I can do this. I wish I can do that. But here I want you to see the Old Testament saints, where God was moving us from the physical to the spiritual, because there was a physical rest in the promised land for those who had faith in God through his commandments. But that was only a shadow of the fulfilling rest found only in Christ. So the shadow is not the person. You stand in the sunshine, the shadow, people don't start talking to the shadow. That was just a figment of what the reality really is, the person. So the physical rest, the promised land, was not to be the ultimate. So just like prosperity gospel uses that the ultimate is for you to get a big house, a nice car, the perfect spouse, and all that, and then you'll have rest. But you get your idols, but you don't need Jesus Christ at that point. So once you get it, you don't want to come to church anymore. And the whole indictment of the Old Testament saints was, once they got stuff, they would forget the Lord their God. Because he was teaching them, rest is not in what I'm about to give you. See the Lord of the Sabbath. Does that make sense? So our fulfillment is going to be in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not till you come, the light comes on by God's grace, that you start seeing what I'm trying to obtain to get satisfaction and contentment is not enough. That's when you know you're weary and heavy laden. Because you keep thinking it's going to be the job. You keep thinking if we go to counseling, if we keep thinking my kids would act right, keep thinking if I get better grades, I go to a better school, I get another degree, whatever it is. And it's not until you start seeing that none of this has satisfied me. And you can become insatiable as a person because you think it's coming through physical stuff. So I want to ask you this, or I want to challenge you with this, and think about it. Most of us have anxiety problems because we are working for situations and people to give us rest. Now, the thing is this, both are unstable. Why? Because we're in a sinful world. So your job may be going great, but it's unstable. It may not seem like it, but anything can happen. People are unstable. Why? Because God didn't make us ultimate. Even if you're great, you're not going to live forever. So it's unstable to put my hope in you. Money, we know, is unstable. So anxiety comes because there's no faith. Fear is there. Stress is there. Unbelief is there. Because my hope is not in Christ, spiritual. It's something physical to happen in my life. And it's playing the lotto, really. Not the physical lotto, but in everything in life. With people, with jobs. And I'm just hoping I hit so I can be content. So here's the miracle of salvation, the Sabbath rest of Christ. The miracle of him being our rest is that we become content even in terrible physical situations. That's the beauty of Jesus Christ. Hope beyond despairing situations. That's what the world can't answer. Because as long as they see us side by side having everything we got, they have, you got Jesus Christ, I don't believe in God, and we got the same thing. But they can't say that once they start going through real trials and they see you with peace and they are broken. And our goal is to be that light for them, that to know that, yes, I've been there, or and tell them, look, there's hope beyond this situation. There's hope beyond the situation. This is what Paul was talking about in his afflictions. This is how he words it, and this is beautiful. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. We're not the treasure, the jar of clay. Who's the treasure? Christ. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not us. So Paul would go on to speak of afflictions in his life, but he would say, struck down, but not destroyed. So even though I'm in a bad situation, I'm not hopeless. See, that's where suicide and all those things come in, because there's nothing beyond this physical world to give me rest. But there is in the Lord of the Sabbath. There is. He is. So here's a living principle we can grab from Paul that he says here. I want you to see this. All instability in situations and relationships are to remind us that they can never bring lasting rest. I'll read that again. All instability in situations and relationships are to remind us that they can never bring lasting rest. They were never created to. So people wanting to get it right, of course you work on your relationship. Of course you want to make your kids do whatever and raise them up right. Of course you want a great job and all that. But it's not meant for you to worship. And every time the situation gets off hand, instead of getting in a big fight, go to God. Because I know you're not my source. You're not my rest. I love you, but you can't really give me anything that I really need. It's till you get past that and say, that doesn't mean you don't love them. You just know they're not God. Right? You just know they're not God. That's the revelation of instability in this world. They're not my God. So Hebrews 9 through 12 says this. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. That's powerful. Once you recognize God rests from his works, we enter into his rest, just like him. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Before I go in there, verses 10 and 11 sound like a blatant contradiction, right? Rested from his works to rest, and then it says strive to enter that rest. So you're telling me to rest, and then you're telling me to strive. But striving is to persevere in faith to rest in God every day. It's not for me to start doing religious stuff. It's for me to believe in Christ to be enough for me. Now look at this, verse 12. Here's the key for us to understand. He goes from talking to the Sabbath to talking about the Word of God. So listen, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the vision of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, I want you to see this, because a lot of times this gets ripped out of the context. But what the Word is teaching you is that rest is in Jesus Christ. So if you don't get in the Word, what are you resting in? So the Word has to be that place where I am seeing God as the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay? So he says, verse 12, this is what it's leading to, because this is where the Old Testament Israel fell, the ones in unbelief. What kept the Israelites from the rest was no faith in God's Word through Moses. So unbelief in the Word negates true rest. Just like PH mentioned last week, and in John 5:39, the Scriptures testify to Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. So it was not their neglect of a day, but the Lord of the Sabbath, the person. They did not see the Lord as more real than their present situation. You know, that's what the Word does. The Word gets in your situation and elevates God over it. So even though the situation doesn't change, I'm seeing the reality of Christ over it. See, so we don't tell you to get in the Word for nothing. Come on now, preach it. You know, and some people I've got chastised before, because it sounds like, oh, well, you tell me to read my Bible. Yeah. Well, what else you want me to do? You know, because God is just not going to make everything wonderful. This is not heaven. It's going to take real faith and seeing God through his Word to get you through. That's it. So faith in Christ, the living Word, equals rest. Versus this, if you neglect the Word and have excuses for it, you have to live in unbelief equals fear and anxiety and worry, because you're in your situation. The Word elevates you, seeing Christ above it. When you neglect the Word and you don't live in it by faith, you got to stay in your situation. And now our situation is too big for us to handle. It's just too big. So that should push you to the Word. So the physical Sabbath day was a shadow to move us to the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. And I'm concluding. I know I got 6 minutes. Concluding with this. Misconceptions of the Sabbath. Now, I'm not going to go through everything, and I just want to put a few things that I've seen in my experiences that I've seen misconceptions of the Sabbath. First, I want you to know that we can conclude this, that striving to enter the rest of God is not by doing religious works, because that's Judaism and every other religion, right? But it's faith working through love in Jesus Christ. That's where true rest is. So I want to, here's the first misconception. Our acceptance or justification, the big word, our acceptance by the Lord is not because we come to church on Sunday. Some of you may not believe that. Now, it's good to come to church, of course, but we're not accepted on the grounds of our works, right? Because Galatians 4, 10, and 11, Paul was saying to them, trying to lead them to understand that you're justified by Christ. Stop adding things of the law that you're trying to observe to make you more righteous towards God. Christ finished the work. Listen to what he says to them. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. He's basically saying you're worshiping church as if that's making you holy and not Jesus Christ. He wanted the Galatians to know that keeping the law did not make them acceptable before God. Faith in Christ and his work did. Right? Because that's what gets you in competition with other people. I come to church, you don't. And they need mercy. They need to see Jesus Christ, not our attendance. So listen to this. Without genuine faith and rest in Christ, we end up seeing church itself as a work. Okay? You end up being stressed out. I got to go to church. I got to go teach. I got to preach. I've been there where I didn't want to go. And I saw preaching as a work. Why? Because I was failing in my faith in Jesus Christ. And it became a burden. And sometimes people don't come to church because they see it as a burden. They don't see it as an opportunity to come in relationship and fellowship and community to be built up. Faith is lacking, so why go there? That's like going to work. It's another responsibility on my plate, and I can't do it. So when you see church as a work, it's kind of like working for a commission, trying to earn my way to pay for today's wage or pay for today's groceries for my family. I'm working. Church is work. I'm trying to earn my way into the kingdom. That brings a lot of stress. So this is the need for the church. We need the encouragement from the word and the fellowship of the saints. Being that living organism, that vessel that God uses. Church is this. Church is the vessel to point you to the true rest in Christ. And like I said before, you don't get this anywhere else. You may have great godly church friends, but how many of them are preaching in your face like this? You understand what I'm saying? Just preaching the word and allowing the Holy Spirit to do and say what he needs to say. I'll add that to it, but you still need church, the word of God, the fellowship, meeting with different people that may be nothing like you, but it pulls you out of your comfort zone to say, you know, do I really got a problem with other people? Do I really have a problem with her? That makes you answer that question. Because on our own, we can stay in our house, be with our friends, and never have to engage in anything uncomfortable. Church should be uncomfortable, but make you better in Christ, make you want to love across. 2 minutes, okay? I'm good time. Now listen, 2 minutes. Keeping this, last misconception. And I'm done. Okay, listen to this. Keeping the Sabbath over walking in love is self-righteous idolatry. Keeping the Sabbath over walking in love is self-righteous idolatry. Here's the story about this. Jesus is talking about this. He says this, and a man, regarding the Sabbath, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, this is Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So they might accuse him. They wanted to get him into breaking, you know, is he breaking the law? Then condemn him. What kind of heart is that? But listen to this. He said to them, Jesus, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Oh, how much more value is a man than a sheep? So is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? I think one translation said they were silent after that. You see how being self-righteous can make you illogical and irrelevant with people. They wouldn't you want your sheep out if it fell in there? But they were more concerned about keeping a law over serving and loving people. And when that happens, I'm not loving God and I'm not loving my neighbor as myself. Because I would want my sheep out. That's all he's saying there. He reverts it back to loving the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So I want you to think about this. Trying to be righteous by keeping a law made them unloving to their neighbor. Think about that. Have you ever, and I'm sure we all have, seen somebody do something, and because you keep that law, you look down on them. or treat them a certain way. Right? But would you, here's the question you need to ask yourself. Would you want Jesus to do that to you? Because he knows all of it. And he does point out and convicts us of a sin, but what does he meet us with? His blood and mercy, right? He does. He meets us with blood and mercy. So that's why Jesus said, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Two more points. So they were more concerned with using the law against people more than loving and serving people with it. That's what the law was made for. That's what the Sabbath was made for, man. But they used it to condemn people. Now, that doesn't mean don't invite people to church. Of course, do that. But if people, ignore it. If people can't make it to church and then we condemn them for it, I'm not saying don't encourage them. But we don't want their righteousness to rest on feeling like, oh, I came to church. God must be pleased with me. It's got to move beyond the physical to the Lord of the Sabbath. So ask ourselves, does Christ treat us like this? Absolutely not. For if it's not, our sins would consume us, the Bible says, if it wasn't for his mercy. The problem was this with those religious Pharisees. They weren't in relationship with God. They weren't seeing loving the Lord your God with all the heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when you're walking in relationship with God, and you can attest to this, you're getting your sins pointed out and God is forgiving you as you're confessing them, right? Because you and the relationship is going together. And guess what that makes you? Merciful. But if I'm trying to keep a law up because I feel bad about myself and I'm going to try and earn my righteousness, I'm going to put you down to make me feel better. And the Bible says, beware lest you bite and devour each other, because it starts from a basis of self-righteousness, not grace and gospel. If it's grace and gospel, all of us are condemned to hell without the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? So there's no work you can do better than me that gets you into heaven. It's just him. Last scripture and we're done. Romans 3:21-23. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. So the righteousness of God has been shown apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Everybody's welcome who comes to believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That right there should not make you want to keep law keeping, whether it's the Sabbath, whether it's any other law that you're trying to hang over people rather than hanging Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of it all. So we show mercy and love. Yes, we correct. Yes, we rebuke. Yes, we discipline and all that. But it shouldn't be out of self-righteousness that somehow I've earned my way and you got to keep up. So I'll say this last point. Make sure you are not more concerned with what laws you keep over loving Jesus and people. Because that's just self-righteous. And it does not fulfill the law of love. Love fulfills the law, Jesus said. So let's pray.